Here's what's coming up on today's episode of Your Tagline Here.
And it just opened the door towards change. That little crack made me curious about how wide that door could open. And I started to learn over the course of, it must be a couple of years. I went through a ton of books, like a library full of books. Paradigm shift for me as a person that would never talk about problems. I was getting told to speak up about things.
Yeah.
I went to my first event and decided to talk about some of the things I'd been through. And it was life-changing. I found that when I spoke to people, they had similar things within them.
Yeah.
And they were waiting for somebody just to speak and share something to have that connection. And I found it so healing for myself as well, almost like a talk therapy of airing out these things I've hidden.
Hello and welcome to the 9th episode of Your Tagline Here. In this episode, I talk to Josh Dykes, who is the training manager at the Speak Up Challenge, who provide public speaking, coaching and marketing courses for people all over the world. Josh got involved with Speak Up at the very early days when it was just a small social club offering free workshops, and since then he has been instrumental at growing it into the very successful business that it is today. It's really interesting hearing him explain how they've done this, and there's some great lessons to learn for other entrepreneurs. To become a public speaker himself, Josh went through a big personal transformation from being a shy and quiet introvert into someone who can confidently speak on stage in front of hundreds and thousands of people. Coming up in this episode, Josh shares his personal story about how he's grown and developed as a person, which is really inspiring and entertaining too. Before we get into the episode, I would just like to mention our sponsor KitLab, which is a digital marketing company based in Birmingham in the UK. KitLab have over 15 years experience and specialise in branding, websites, search engine optimization, paid advertising, social media and more. So if you want to grow your business online, just head over to kitlab.com, which is KIKLAB.com. Okay, let's get into the episode and meet Josh. If you do like this episode, then please make sure you give us a thumbs up and hit the subscribe button so you don't miss out on future content. Also, if you have any questions or comments, then you can leave them below or you can send us an email to hello@yourtaglinehere.com. Hello, Josh. Welcome to the podcast. It's good to have you here.
Yeah, good to see you. How's it going?
Yeah, very good, thanks. I was thinking earlier about when it was that we last saw each other. I think it was at least a year ago, wasn't it?
Will have been, at least. Yeah, I can't even remember. But it was probably... Yeah, the old office that we had, I think we saw you, came round a long time ago.
So I'm very interested to find out what's been happening since then. But before we get into that, I want to go right back to the beginning and find out about how you got involved in public speaking in the first place.
Sure, yeah. Well, it is a beginning story. And I think when I was growing up, I'm from Hull in Yorkshire, and single parent household, mum was the main breadwinner, lived on a council estate. So we didn't have personal development or anything like that. You know, it was go to the pub if you're a man and that's it. I hide all the problems by drinking. And that was the kind of routine that we got brought up with. And I thought nothing of it. And as I started to progress in my life, I got a job as a chef, and I'm quite a shy, introverted person. I do a lot of public speaking now, so it's not too bad, but I am quite quiet. I'm quite reserved. And when I was in that career, I found myself working really hard. Like being a chef, we were doing 100 hours a week on most weeks, and it'd go higher at some points. And it's almost like a challenge, like how much can we work in a week to win? And you can only do that for so long. So I found myself going through a lot of stress, a lot of burnout. And I looked back onto the journey of what I got brought up with, and I thought, great, alcohol is the solution. So naturally, I just was drinking most nights of the week. I'd go back to my room. Mainly at first, it was for fun, but then it just became this habit that built up out of nowhere. Okay. And the more stress that I had with my job, I mean, I worked in Michelin-starred restaurants, and I traveled around the world in these really cool places.
Yeah.
But it also made me quite isolated, and I had this really weird routine of working really hard, going home, drinking. That was it. Okay. And that led me through a lot of depression, a lot of generally not being very happy about myself and what I was doing. I lost a lot of fulfillment in my job, and I didn't really know what to do next. So I was stuck. I was in this really weird position of I'd reached the mountain, I'd climbed the mountain of my career. I was working in these world-class restaurants, and it all felt like it was for nothing because it was just more work. It was harder work. And I saw the people that were 10 years older than me working harder than me. And I thought, do I want to be doing this? I love cooking, but it was tough. So that spiraled me downwards. I went away from the work for a bit. And when I had a bit of time free, I realized that I'd sacrificed a lot of my personality, a lot of my confidence in that job. So I became really quiet and I looked for some help. So I found a lot of books, a lot of personal development things that gave me some information, some resources. One of the first people was Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
The Awaken the Giant Within book. Yeah. And I reading it the first time was so weird for me because I was like, what is this guy on about? I looked on YouTube and there's just this huge American guy shouting with his massive hands. And there's like thousands of people in an audience listening to him.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, what is this guy talking about? This is not, like, I'm going to the pub. You know, I was like, the pub mentality kicked back in. But I was in dire straits, so I read the book and I found actually a lot of stuff spoke straight to me. And I think in life you have some people that come to you at the right time, and that was the right person at the right time for me. And it asked me a lot of hard truths and helped me to get some structure back in my life and think about who I wanted to be happy, healthy, and have good relationships with myself and other people. And it just opened the door towards change. That little crack made me curious about how wide that door could open. And I started to learn over the course of, well, it must be a couple of years. I went through a ton of books, like a library full of books, and found that as I learned more, I listened to a lot of these motivational speakers, and that was kind of a typical thing. They'd read a book and they'd also be a speaker. So I was like, huh. So that's what we do then. That's what you do when you've got messages to share. You talk about it. And again, paradigm shift for me as a person that would never talk about problems. I was getting told to speak up about things.
Yeah.
So I kind of followed that path and I started to get into a position of being good. I was healthy. I was happy. A couple of years had gone, like, as I was reading through this journey. And I went to my first event and decided to talk about some of the things I'd been through. And it was life-changing. I found that when I spoke to people, they had similar things within them.
Yeah.
And they were waiting for somebody just to speak and share something to have that connection. And I found it so healing for myself as well, almost like a talk therapy of airing out these things I've hidden.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, from the world. And it kind of just went from there. But that was the real beginning spark of me wanting to be a speaker.
Wow, that's a really powerful story that you've just shared. Thanks for giving all of the details about that. And interesting that Tony Robbins was one of the most pivotal people along that journey, because he is an incredible public speaker, isn't he? Because we actually both went to one of his events, and he's a rock star on stage.
Larger than life. Definitely larger than life.
So how did you go from doing public speaking for yourself to then actually doing it as a job and teaching other people how to do it?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I have no idea. Because I was just pretty much just stumbling through the dark and just listening to my intuition of what was feeling good, what made sense for me, and trying to switch a little bit of that logical brain off, because it's not something that you think about, having a job in public speaking. I was still at the time working as a chef. I had like a freelance business at the time, so I had a bit more time on my hands. But I was getting into the speaking, and I looked onto meetup.com, a lot of social stuff. Yeah. I was trying to find my way through that world, and I saw a public speaking group. And I was like, oh, this is cool. I'll go there. And because I'd been to Toastmasters before, and it's a little bit formalized, a little bit older people. I didn't really connect with them for what they were there for, a lot of wedding speeches and stuff. And this seemed a bit more down to earth. It was at the LGBT Centre in Birmingham. So I just went down there. I met Reese Turner, who started the group, which eventually became Speak Up Challenge.
Yeah.
And yeah, just went and started talking. And that was fun to actually learn about the art of speaking, because before it was me just going on stage and like, hey, it's me, here's what I've been through, and didn't really have much knowledge about the skill behind the thing. Mm-hmm. It was more just to do it.
Yeah.
So that was cool, and that was pretty much the introduction to learning about speaking becoming something we can teach people. So I went along to Speak Up. It was a long period of time, maybe about a year, and it was basically, Speak Up was a social club.
Yeah.
To start off with, I was learning to become a better speaker, so I was using that club to help me. And Reese had his hand in a couple of charity areas, launching his own charity to help people that were homeless to get off the streets, which I worked with him on as well. And he was really using that to improve his speaking skills to get the message out and whatnot.
Okay.
And after about a year or so, that group was popular. I mean, you were in some of those earlier sessions.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had this really cool community.
Yeah.
And we realized that we need to have more structure, because there were so many people. It was almost like having to turn people away, because you'd have this room of like 40 people coming for these free workshops and wanting more and wanting it every week and more and more often. So we thought, let's make this more of a business. Let's put some commercial mindset behind this. And Reese had started to charge a little bit for some of the sessions, but it was really just starting in the early age of it. And I jumped on and said, I'd love to help. Because Reese, in my opinion, is an absolute genius. His brain, I meet a lot of people, and I don't meet people like Reese. I've never met somebody like Reese before. He was a couple of years younger than me, and at the time I was probably about 25, 26, so he was like 22, 23, and he was super switched on. He had this really interesting brain, and I thought, I am connecting with this guy, and if he gives me an opportunity, I'm going to take it and work with him and do whatever I can just to be in that energy. And I think that's a smart thing to do for anyone.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you meet a lot of people in life, but very few people that really inspire you on your level. So I got around him. We decided to go make it into a business and start to build a training structure. So I got up there, tried selling this program the first day. And yeah, we went from there. You know, the first sales event was really cool. We actually had a funny experience, because we weren't sure if people would buy it. And it's funny looking back now, because the programs are reasonably expensive compared to what they were. You know, we're talking like £1,000 and beyond. In those days, we had like this £30 program, and we were terrified. We were like, who'd buy this? We've made it. It's going to be ridiculous. Like, nobody will want this thing, or nobody will take us seriously. And there must have been about 25 people in the room, and I was probably hot and sweaty, bright red, full of embarrassment, trying to pitch my hat out to these people and like tell stories and trying to be witty and funny. And everyone in the room purchased. And we were like, what? Because a few hundred pounds doesn't sound like a lot, but at the time, that was proof.
Mm.
It was proof that what we had was worth it. And I think a lot of the work that we'd done with the community before that, i.e. building up these relationships, really getting to know these people that wanted to improve their skills, was a huge factor in there, because those people stuck around for a long time and it became this family, this connection. Like, yes, it was a business, but we were helping each other, and we found that people blossomed and grew as a part of that company, as the company started to grow and become more serious.
It's really interesting hearing you talk us through that story, because I was part of that to a certain degree, because I remember going to a meetup session and you were speaking at it, and I remember watching you speak. And I was like, oh, this looks quite good. And I remember talking to you afterwards and saying, oh, so what's this group like? Is it all right? Should I come along? And it was that conversation that I had with you that persuaded me to give it a try.
Mm.
And a lot of those things that you were saying about it being a community, it was a fantastic community, and I'm sure it still is now. And there's people that I made friends with at the time, and I'm still friends with them now.
Yeah.
So I think it's amazing what you've done as an organisation. And yeah, really interesting to hear about that journey that you've been on to turn it from a social club into something which is a profitable business and something that you're charging people money for. So I applaud you, and I applaud Rhys for everything that you've done.
For sure. And I think it's a really good lesson that I learned about it, because we didn't intend to build a business initially. It was more helping people with stuff that was really interesting, that we really cared about. And obviously these days we work with people who are coaches and speakers, and the big question is, how do you be successful? How do you build a business? How do you do it really well? And the easy answer is just do something that you really want to do and provide as much value. And it's like the corny advice to do, but it means that when you wake up, there's the intention, if nobody paid, we wouldn't care, because we enjoyed doing it. We enjoyed being around those people, and people could sense that. So a lot of the hard work, I believed, had already been done when we were just trying to help people and figure it out, and it made our life a lot easier moving forward, because that was the stability that helped us to grow, like the injection of cash that allowed us to build in those early days and experiment and test to see what was working.
Yeah, definitely. I also think it was interesting what you were saying about how, to begin with, in your own journey, you just got up there and you spoke, and you didn't think of it as a skill, and you didn't really know what you were doing. You just went up there and you did it. And then you started to learn what those elements were, and that's what you teach to other people. Can you just share a couple of examples of what some of the things are that people can learn? Because I think that there's a lot of people out there, and myself was included before I came along to Speak Up, that think that with public speaking, it's either something that you're good at or something that you're not good at. And people don't realize that it's actually a skill that you can learn, and it has techniques that you can develop. So can you give us a few examples?
For sure. Well, it's communication. And I think one of the reasons why I love what I do is it's incredibly diverse, and different people take different things away, even if you're teaching in the same concepts and the same principles. But we typically split up the areas of development for speakers into the content creation, because these days everyone's got something to say. And as a person that's trying to stand out online, offline, you've got to know how to build an audience, build a connection with people, and they want to come back and hear more. My grandma's on Facebook. She's doing videos, she's doing lives. I have no idea what she's talking about, but she enjoys it. But if my nan's on there, it means that everyone's on there. And yet one of the biggest problems for people is being able to stand out. And that comes from your content. How to create something that you are interested in and adapting it so people pay attention to it, making it disruptive so it stands out from the crowd. Like, that's a really key factor. So when you're speaking, people are listening to the words, it feels different. We see so many people that like read a book and seem to just regurgitate that information, and it not take it as their own, but I see a lot of, for example, the law of attraction. They've obviously listened to a couple of videos, read a couple of books, and then there's tens of thousands of people just saying the same principles, which isn't anything wrong with that, but it's going to be hard to stand out unless you take that content and shape it into something that's yours, with your experiences, your personality. Otherwise, it's just somebody else's. That's one. You got the voice projection, you know, learning how to speak eloquently, effectively. For my entire adult life, until I learned about being a speaker, the big fear words for me, or the big fear word for me, was what? Because every time I'd speak to people, genuinely, almost every single time, every time I'd say something to them, they'd say, what? Because they couldn't hear what I said.
Oh, right.
I was a mumbler.
Really?
I wasn't clear. I would talk really fast. And what that what taught me was that I wasn't interested. Okay. I didn't have a voice. And I found that that really got into my head. And I'd almost expect them to say what? So I was almost repeating myself before they said what, because I knew it was going to happen. And it was so annoying in my head that I didn't understand for years that I could control that.
Okay.
So the voice is key. Once I got a hold of my voice and I learned about volume, pacing, clarity, articulation, rhythm, tempo, you name it, emotion, expression, people started to listen. And it opened my eyes, because when people listened to me the first time, I was terrified. They're looking at me. I was like, what are you looking at? Why haven't you said what yet? And then you find your voice when you realize you've got a voice that's interesting, people want to hear, because everyone's interesting. I think that's a crucial thing. So yeah, we teach people about how to find their voice, how to speak so people will hear them, if they want to be confident, how to use your voice in a confident way. And even if you're nervous inside, being able to speak, articulate with the muscles in your throat to effectively enunciate and project, so people think, oh wow, they're interesting. And a lot of the time people in their heads have a different judgment of what the reality is. Everyone else sees a lovely speaker that's got a really interesting story. In the speaker's head, they are terrible, they're quiet, they're not interesting. So it's important to get that overrided, or to overwrite that feeling and behavior and belief. And the final area is body language. Being open, being expressive, using gestures, facially, hand gestures, movement, to create a presence. Because apparently that's the most of your communication is done non-verbally. So getting a hold of how to use these so you're not closing yourself off, having a good posture, having good eye contact, learning how to engage with an audience. Because it should always feel like it's a conversation with somebody else when you're speaking to them. If it's one way and you're just talking at people, it's not interesting. It doesn't feel like you're in a back and forth, and they slowly will just switch off and get into their own heads.
Well, it's clear that you really know your stuff, Josh. And it's amazing how many different elements there are to being a good public speaker, which might feel a little bit overwhelming to some people. But I think it's really useful to know that there are lots of different things, and you just take them one thing at a time, and then you practice it, and you give it a try, and then you get better, and then you move on to the next thing.
Of course.
And it's been great for me as well, being involved with Speak Up as a videographer, because I would come along to workshops and to the live nights and film them. And it was good from my point of view to see people at the start when they come in and they are a little bit shy and like, oh God, I'm going to have to speak. Oh my God. And I'll be putting the microphone on them and I'll be like, oh, I'm really nervous. And then by the end of it, they're absolutely just smashing it, and 100%. Seeing that development in people. I mean, it was rewarding for me, and I wasn't really doing anything. So it must be massively rewarding for you.
You believe. Yeah, it's the best feeling in my life is to see somebody who is naturally quite shy, quiet. I remember a lady, remember Carmen? When I first met Carmen, she said that she called herself the mouse. And I was like, what's going on? She's a foster carer. She looked after people her entire life. And she never really had a voice of her own. When we met her, she'd just turned 60 and started our program to become more confident. By the end of it, she's a different person. And I think that's one of the strengths, because there's some things in sports or business that you only use in business or only in that certain arena. With public speaking, you're always communicating with people. So once you become good at speaking, you can help anybody. You can find that that gives you so much confidence, better relationships, better at work, better at whatever you want. So I think it has a profound effect on the people that you work with, and you see them develop and change and transform right in front of your eyes. And it's almost like you see them grow and stand up and become taller and become who they want to be, and eventually. So yeah, it's a good job. I'm pretty lucky to be doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, definitely. I know from seeing you do it that you are very good at it, but you also clearly love doing it as well, which helps you to teach it to other people, because they see you enjoying it, and that just makes the whole process work so much nicer.
For sure.
So the people that you have coming along to the workshops and the programs that you have, is there any particular type of person that comes along, or is it a whole wide range of people?
Yeah, a big range in terms of what people do for a living. You know, you'll get bankers, you'll get people in sports, doctors, and the big thing that ties them together, I think, is a desire for learning and improvement. They're interested in personal development. Many of them have been through experiences they want to talk about to help other people or to help themselves, maybe. And we've branched out now to not only look after speaking, it's a lot of coaching as well. So we qualify coaches to get them to help other people, so like training up leaders of tomorrow.
Okay.
But yeah, I found that people who come to us are typically open-minded is one of the big keys. They're ready to learn, ready to improve, and they've got a thirst for helping other people.
Yeah. And how do you go about finding those people? And
just on the street. I just bump into people. I've got a net. Just net them, bring them in, get some money off them, and then they start, and then
because
that's it.
I know that you do get lots of people coming along to the workshops and the programs, and they come from all over the country, and I'm sure now they're probably from all over the world, but we'll come on to that in a moment. Yeah. But how do you go about marketing the business and getting your brand out there?
Well, we had a lot of luck. You know, I don't want to say that SpeakUp was this thing that's done all the hard work. It's all on us. Reese had a background in digital marketing. So from the early days, after we had that community, which was really the big thing that started us off, we had about 2,500 people eventually in that group. So if we put an event in Meetup, we'd get dozens of people, sometimes up to 100 people come into a room to attend an event. We could then pitch our services, and it's the best model to watch people that have been through a course speak on stage to then say, do you want to do this? And that was our model in the early days. There was no marketing.
Okay.
But once we wanted to grow and expand to different cities, we started to lean into ad spend, digital market on Facebook, Google, and a few other smaller areas after that.
Yeah, because to grow a business, really, you need to invest in that kind of digital marketing, don't you?
For sure. Well, it depends. I think different businesses have different ways of working, and like I say, if we could have maybe grown in different ways with that community if we'd really wanted to take a bit more time to nurture it.
Okay.
But it's a speed thing, and the great thing about spending money online, you can grow an audience incredibly quickly.
Okay.
I mean, we have maybe 2-3 sometimes 4 events a week these days, and those events can have between 100 and 300 people in. So we have that many, like maybe 500 to 1,000 people every week. It's almost impossible to do that without having a marketing budget at the scale we're working at now.
You mentioned about how you expanded in the UK, because I know that you started off in Birmingham and then you went to London and Manchester and a few other places as well.
Yeah.
Have you now expanded more globally?
Yeah, it's international now. Okay. So it's online really. So I'm still in Birmingham most of the time, but obviously through the power of the internet, people are joining from all over the world.
And did that change happen because you wanted it to happen anyway, or was it kind of forced to happen because of COVID?
It was 100% forced because of COVID. Well, we'd had some plans before lockdown to think about online training. We actually signed up a few people as international customers that they'd come to England to speak, but they were from like Sweden, Dubai, and a few other places. And eventually the plan was to have these international speaking events.
Yeah.
And the online was slowly getting there, but we didn't really have a massive reason to do it because we were okay, we were fine.
Yeah.
But the funny thing about having a public speaking business when COVID came along was you can no longer meet in public.
Yeah.
So that was a bit of a game changer.
Yeah. So what was that like when COVID did happen and then you realised we're going to have to cancel the events and cancel the workshops? What were your emotions at the time and what were you thinking?
Well, I'm a conspiracy theorist, a lot of things. I don't believe things that much that are going on. So I was in London on, I think it was like March the 16th on a Wednesday, running an event in London. And I was like, oh yeah, this thing will die down. It's not as bad as people think. It's just the media, it's hyping it up. And they said lockdown's going to be in effect.
Yeah.
And I thought, what about all the courses that we have? Like, we've got loads of people on programs that have already paid us money that are just starting in the middle or coming to the end of their program but not quite finished. What are we going to do with these literally almost hundreds of people? It was a very much a shock moment for us.
Yeah.
Going into the office, sat down, got the drawing board out, literally back to the drawing board, and yeah, we sat down and thought, what do we need to do to make this work? Because it wasn't just helping the students we've already got to not have too much stress or wanting a refund and putting the business under because of all the service debt that we'd have. But how do we keep the business going moving forward? Like, how do we sell if we've never done anything other than in person? What's going to happen over the next few months? You know, it's a tough thing. So yeah, it was a big shock at the time and definitely an emotional time.
Yeah.
Because at that stage, we'd spend years, blood, sweat and tears into the business. You know, there's no illusions. It's a hard job still, you know, building a business to where it is. It's a bootstrap team. We'd love working on a budget and working really hard with limited resources and building great things. And you start to see that growth happen. And then this global pandemic kicks in that probably wouldn't be very helpful for our business. And you wonder, like, oh, is this a sign of something that we should have done something else?
But it's great how you took that very stressful, very worrying situation, and then you went to the drawing board and you came up with a solution of how you could run your business online, which is amazing how you've been able to do that. So with Speak Up Now as a business, is it all online?
100% online. Okay. Yeah, I mean, we went through about a 48-hour period of lockdown, probably from that week of the 13th of March when lockdown officially started to happen and kick in. And we, by the next week, we're up and running online. And all the students, we had this plan of action to get all the students into online training and events. Lots of really interesting things that were providing much more value.
Yeah.
So lots of sleepless nights for me doing all the extra training.
Yeah.
Help getting all the trainers on board that we had to help them, to keep them busy with work. Obviously, they have responsibilities and whatnot. And really, at first, it was more just trying to run these events to get our students sorted. Then we tried our hand at running some online events. And the funny thing is, it was probably the best thing that could have happened to us at first, because it allowed us to tap into that international marketplace. It was no longer going to a small city, trying to run an event, getting a couple of dozen people to attend and convert them. We were running events for hundreds of people because they can all do it from home. They're all at home, pretty bored, wanting to learn something interesting. So I come on with jazz hands and start talking to them, telling cool stories, and we started to get signups. And I think it was about 2 months after lockdown, we had our biggest month ever. So we'd started to grow in revenue quite significantly because of all the changes that we started to make. And I think by adapting quite quickly, we didn't really let our, like, rest on our laurels and get upset and didn't do anything and get dejected. We just went full guns to pedal to the metal, and it worked out really well.
Yeah, well, a fair play to you for being able to adapt and move forward and be able to grow your business in the very challenging circumstances. So what are your plans now for the future with Speak Up?
Well, Speak Up's always changing, and I think that's one of my favourite things about it. It's not this incredibly structured thing that is always quite rigid in its growth, and we've got these big plans. We have a vision of what we want to do to help people, and the vision is to help change the world by creating coaches and speakers that can become experts in their area, build businesses for themselves, and do it in a really effective way. And that's a big gap in the industry right now, especially for the coaches, because you got a lot of people wanting to be coaches, but very few actually having the skills to market themselves, to get enough regular customers, because it is quite hard to build that sort of a business with no prior knowledge.
Yeah.
A lot of people were like me, I'd read a Tony Robbins book and want to become a coach, and you start speaking, but where do the customers come into it? You know, it's not easy.
Yeah.
So we've got this global industry right now of hundreds of thousands of people wanting to become coaches, and probably 0.1% who actually know what they're doing and they've got prior skills to help them, and the rest of them really want to do it but are pretty much stuck. So a lot of our focus right now is around speaking, coaching and marketing.
Okay.
So helping them with a full picture of obviously getting the skills to provide value, presenting that value in front of their audiences and selling themselves in an authentic way that makes them stand out from the crowd. And that's the vision of how we help people. But I guess in the future, it'll be a case of having an open mind. You know, the great thing about Speak Up is it changes. It never looks the same from 1 week to the next, let alone, you know, years in the future. And I think it'll have a lot of the same flavors, but we'll really just listen to the customers, seeing what's working for them, how people are receiving certain things, and yeah, just taking it one step at a time.
I really like what you're now doing as an organisation. So you're not just teaching people the skills, you're helping you're teaching them the skills, and then you're helping them to actually earn money from it, because yeah, marketing is such a difficult thing in itself, and there are a lot of people learning to be a coach, and yeah, they don't have a clue how to get clients.
For sure.
So I think teaching them those skills as well is really valuable to those people.
Yeah.
If there's people watching who are thinking about starting their own business in anything, from your experience of growing Speak Up in the way that you have, what advice would you give to people?
That's a good question. So I'd say find something that you actually love doing first. Mm. We see so many people that come to me and say, how do I become successful? Well, you don't become successful with that question, because you're looking for success in resources, i.e. how do I make money? And you make money by providing value. And building a business is going to be pretty hard. Even if you're really lucky, it's going to be difficult. You're going to have tough times. See, those tough times will stretch you. And if you don't love what you do, it's going to be really easy just to say, let's get a real job. And you'll get a formal job that pays you a set wage and gives you structure, but less of the passion. So I'd say find something that you really are interested in. And that can take a bit of time. I mean, there's a great book by Cal Newport called Be So Good They Can't Ignore You.
Okay.
And that goes all into like finding your passion. It's quite cliche and quite hard for people to understand. But it's really about developing your passions. Mm. And by working at something that you think that you might enjoy, or even something that you're not sure about, you gain skills, proficiency, then you start to become confident and passionate about it. I imagine that so many people feel like they've always been passionate about what they do. But if you ask them on week one of trying it out, they may have had a different answer, like, oh no, it's horrible, it's stressful, it's new, I'm not sure about it. But once you spend a good amount of time, the passion grows, you become confident and competent and build that community around you. I'd say passion is important. Number two would be the ability to adapt. And I think that's one of the most scary things that we've had to do, but the most important, because what you think works now may not work in a month, 2 months, 6 months time. So you have to have the ability to completely throw away everything that may currently be working if a better idea comes along. If you think this may work better, may help people better. And a lot of time that vision about helping people kicks in. So even if it can make more money if I do this, I actually want to provide more value doing that. It's probably better to go in that direction than just the financial direction, because that value, people see it and people want that. Eventually, over time, that's what keeps you holistically growing and people caring about what you do. Once you start to fall too much in love with the money, you become quite transactional in what you do, and it ends up just being a service rather than your passion.
Yeah.
And I see that quite a lot, unfortunately. So yeah, it's a find something that you love, adapt as often as possible, and learn from what people think about what you do. I think one of the big reasons why we've grown to where we are is by asking people, like, what do you enjoy about our programs?
Yeah.
What's working, what's not working? And even up until a year and a half ago, we were having feedback forms for every person who attended every single thing with us. What was good, what was bad, what did you hate about it? And really trying to get all that information out from them. Because they are your customers will tell you what they want and what they like and what they don't like. We've built things that we've thought are going to be amazing, but the customers didn't want it. So we thought, all right, you guys are in the driving seat. And if you don't listen to them, you're going to sell things that you think that people want, and that may not be the reality of the world. So ask people, do a lot of trialing and testing. I meet so many people that want to become coaches, and they say, oh, I want to build this course. What do you recommend? I say, just run a program for free for people and ask them, like, see what works for you, what works for them, learn and improve it along the way. And eventually you may find something that is pretty cool, and that development journey is there, rather than trying to go home and create something that you think is amazing, because you'll have to iterate anyway after they give you that feedback.
Great advice. I've been taking lots of mental notes. I've got two more questions for you. First of all, with Speak Up, if there's anyone watching who wants to get involved to either learn about public speaking, about coaching, or about digital marketing, where do they go and how do they find out about it?
SpeakUpChallenge.com. Super easy. We run free events on a regular basis. They are like 6-hour events from 10 till 4 p.m. in each area, each discipline. So you've got speaking, you've got marketing, you've got coaching led by expert professionals in that area. And it's a free day. You know, and if you learn some great stuff, you find it enjoyable and you want to sign up, there's options to do that. And if you want to just come for a free day and learn something, you can do that as well. It's a win-win.
Well, it's a no-brainer, really, yeah, isn't it, if you're getting something for free. Yeah. And the final question is, what is your tagline to summarise your story about becoming a public speaker and running a public speaking company?
That's a good question. I'd say, learn to speak up because you can stand out.
Nice. I like it. Yeah, that's really nice. Yeah, definitely. And you can stand out by speaking up.
For sure.
And it's, yeah, I've seen lots of people do it through my involvement with Speak Up. Mm. And it's great hearing your story about how you did that as well, from being that person who would mumble and hear the word "what" a lot. Like, when you were saying that, I was thinking, no, that's not Josh. I just can't imagine you being like that.
Honestly, it still crushes me if I do it and somebody says "what," I just die inside slightly.
Yeah, so it's great to see how you have personally developed over the years to become the person that you are now, and also great to see how the business has developed over the years to what it is now. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been great having you here, and it's been lovely to see you and to catch up and to hear about what you've been doing with Speak Up.
Yeah, you as well. It's awesome. Thanks for having me.
I hope that you enjoyed the episode. If you did like it, then please do give us a like and subscribe so you don't miss out on any future content. If you have any questions, then you can leave us a comment below, or you can send us an email to hello@yourtaglinehere.com, and I will see you next time. We'll